Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let God's people now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord answered me and set open the place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord for me is among the people who help me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
Had time allowed, I could have gotten Ben to read the entire 118th Psalm. If you get a chance to do that this afternoon, you will be uplifted by it. Psalm 118 is a magnificent psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. And it's also very useful, as I think we will see in our lesson today. In fact, I think a preacher could take just the verses from Psalm 118 and preach an entire year of sermons just on those verses. I'm not going to do that, but I think a preacher could do that. In fact, as Ben read, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord and he hears me. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side. What shall I fear from anyone else? And the answer is not at all. Those and other verses are magnificent and wonderful and also useful. We're going to concentrate in our introduction on verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it and be glad. That's the King James rendering, the English Standard, almost identical. The American Standard just substitutes Jehovah for God. And then the NIV takes a little bit different slant. The NIV says, the Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. And that reminds me of a song that we sing sometimes when a person is baptized. Happy day, when Jesus took my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, when Jesus took my sins away. Did you notice the last part of that very, very simple song? He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. That's what the psalmist was talking about in the passage that was read today. He said, this is the day. But what day is he referring? To what day is he referring? Well, the NIV, and the main reason I pointed it out is, I think it really captures exactly what David is saying. He's saying that it is every day that we rejoice. And really, as we live today, that's every day. And then as we live tomorrow, that all of a sudden has become today. That's really confusing to me, but you understand what we're saying. Every day that we live is today, and that is the day that we are to rejoice. But I guess maybe I got the cart a little bit before the horse. What does it mean to rejoice? There are five Greek words in our New Testament that are translated as rejoice. Now, David didn't speak Greek, so we really need to find the Hebrew word that he is using to describe this feeling of rejoice. The Hebrew word that David is using is the word samach. And for every place that I looked, everything that I could find indicates that the word that David used, samach, for rejoice, means exactly the same thing that Paul wrote to the Philippians saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, that is the Greek word kareo. So kareo is defined as an acknowledgement or a proclamation of great joy. So Paul is saying we rejoice in the Lord. And David is saying we rejoice in the Lord every day. So not only do we realize what one is saying, it's amplified by the other. Now, to help us in our understanding, let's look at a few passages of Scripture. The first time that I could find where the word rejoice is used in the Bible was way back in Exodus chapter 18. This is a time when Moses is talking to his father-in-law, Jethro, about the blessings of God's deliverance. And Jethro says, I rejoice for all the goodness the Lord has done. The word rejoice is also a very popular word with the psalmist. In fact, David or the psalm writers use the word rejoice almost more than all the rest of the New Testament and Old Testament writers combined. The first time I could find the word in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, we find that the wise men have followed the star and they now have reached Bethlehem. By the time they reach Bethlehem, Jesus is no longer in the stable. Now he is in the house. And Matthew 2:11 says, they rejoice. And Paul says, we rejoice with those that do rejoice. And Philippians is known as an epistle of joy because he uses the concept of joy and rejoicing 9 times in that simple epistle alone. The last time I found the word rejoice was all the way in Revelation 19. Rejoice and give honor to the Lord. And just in case you're taking notes, the verse in which rejoice is used, which is the very shortest, is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore. Brethren, the Bible has a lot to say about rejoicing, being filled with joy, making a proclamation of the joy that we have. And David says we do that every day. Now this is going well, let's continue. In Acts chapter 5, we find that the apostles are being persecuted. And down in verse 41, we read, and they, the apostles who were being persecuted, rejoiced because they were counted worthy to suffer the shame for Jesus' name. In Philippians 1:18, Paul says that he rejoiced because the gospel was preached, and he made it more personal when he said, and I also rejoice. Now, back to our song, Happy Day. How can we live rejoicing every day? And back to the verse we began with, how can we rejoice in the Lord always? Brethren, my lesson only has one point, and that is this. We can rejoice every day. We can find this joy always because Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Brethren, that irrefutable fact that Jesus loves us fills us with joy. Now let's consider another verse from another psalm. The same things I said about Psalm 118, I could say about Psalm 33. Psalm 33 is a magnificent psalm, a wonderful psalm, but also a very useful psalm. If you read down through this psalm, you find that the psalmist is talking about God's sovereignty and God's power. In verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. And notice this, for the praise of the upright is beautiful. Righteousness causes us to rejoice, and to God it is beautiful. Now I hesitate giving God personal feelings and all, because we know his thoughts and feelings and his emotions are far above ours. But what David is saying, it's almost like God is looking down on us. And he says, my children are rejoicing in my name. And according to David, God believes that that is beautiful. Brethren, I think I speak for all of us. That makes me feel very, very good. Another verse from another psalm, Psalm 97, verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones, give thanks as you remember his holy name. What David is saying is, when we see God's name, or when we even hear God's name, or when we read about God's name, it should fill us with joy. You know, there are some people that way. If we hear, well, brother and sister so-and-so are going to come for a visit, just hearing that they're going to be here causes us to smile. Well, the smile that David is talking about is not only exterior, but interior. When we think of God, when we think of His name, it fills us with joy. And now we begin our conclusion. The name of Jesus also fills us with joy. Acts 4 verse 12, a classic verse, says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name," Peter is talking about Jesus, "no other name given among men, no other name under heaven, whereby we must be saved." It's the name of Jesus that secures our salvation. Now, the name of Jesus is offensive to some people. Not to us, but to some people. To the righteous, it is the most beautiful name ever. But to the unrighteous, it is offensive. In fact, there are people that are doing everything they possibly can. No, let me change that. The devil is getting some people to do everything they possibly can to make the name of Jesus offensive. They've all but gotten his name out of school. They want to get his name out of all of our vocabularies. But brethren, the name of Jesus brings hope. It brings healing. It brings salvation. The psalmist also says, Peter says, "There is no other name under heaven, no other name given among men, whereby we must be saved. In that we rejoice and are glad." And Paul told the Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So our responsibility is to help those people who find the name of Jesus offensive, to help them realize His name brings salvation. There's no other name that does that. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "No one will come to the Father but by me." And Thomas was confused. He thought Jesus was talking about a specific place. He was, but the place he's talking about is heaven. Brethren, you nor I nor anyone else will make it to heaven without coming through Jesus. And because of that, we should rejoice every day. And we can. When we have accepted Him as our Savior, His name alone will bring us comfort and cheer. We can live rejoicing every day that He has secured our salvation. In fact, the verse I was trying to get a while ago, Psalm 35 verse 9, "My soul shall rejoice in the Lord and in His salvation." Brethren, think for a moment about what Jesus actually did for us. He left His heavenly home for us. He assumed humanity for us. He suffered for us. He was embarrassed at times for us. He accepted the cross for us. Isaiah says He became a man of sorrows for us. He was well acquainted with grief for us. He was despised and rejected, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. By His stripes we are healed. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, yet He spoke not a word for us. He did all of that for us. He was forsaken so we can be forgiven. He was stricken so we can be saved. And that's what Peter meant. That's what the New Testament means. There's no other name like His. His is the name of salvation. One more verse and we'll extend the invitation. Isaiah 61 verse 10. Let us greatly rejoice in the Lord. Let our soul be joyful in God. And again, there's only one way to do that. And that is to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Now, the lesson would naturally lead to an invitation. Since we've talked about the greatness of other things, we've talked about the greatness of God, the name of Jesus, then naturally we would extend Jesus' invitation. He was the one that said, "You come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." That's Jesus' words, and it was given to me, and it was given to you. And therefore, if in order to accept Jesus as Savior, you need to respond and do the things that Jesus requires you to do, then the opportunity is open for you right now. When Jesus commissioned the disciples, he told them, well, I'm going to get it out of order, but he told them, go and teach the world, teach the gospel, and those that believe the gospel and are baptized shall be saved. Jesus also said that unless we repent, unless we make the needed change, we'll perish. And the Bible also said God commands all men everywhere to repent. We also need to make that good confession of our faith. With the heart we believe unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We also need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and unless we believe that, we'll perish. So having heard the truth today, if you believe it, are you ready now to turn away from your sins and acknowledge Jesus and be baptized, which Peter says in Acts 2, washes away your sins. Unless you contact the blood of Jesus, your sins are not washed away. Romans 6, Galatians 3, and we could go on and on and on and on. So if you need to be baptized today, or if for any other reason you need to respond, we're going to get Mike to come up here and greet you. If you need to respond to Jesus, won't you come as we stand together and sing?